Could I just, before you go on, could I just pick up on that point? Because that has been a very major issue that has been emphasized. I think ASCO brought it up with their consensus statement. This issue of the patient who's stable or not progressing, but then progresses in the brain, the concept you just talked about, you keep the systemic therapy going. In this situation, what do you think is going on? Actually, I have a question that someone sent in who had heard interviews with Dr. Hope Rugo and Joyce O'Shaughnessy talking about the fact that T-DM1, quote, crosses the blood-brain barrier. And this person says, the only data I see with this large molecule conjugate crossing blood-brain barrier is the metastatic setting, where, quote, maybe the blood-brain barrier is already breached with radiation therapy. Is there any data of T-DM1 crossing the blood-brain barrier in the, let's say, adjuvant setting? This person wants to know.
Right, so that's a very good question. And so Hope is correct that we do have data in the metastatic setting suggesting that trastuzumab crosses the blood-brain barrier when there's a tumor present, a parenchymal HER2 brain metastasis present. And we have case series and a cohort trial showing that in some patients, treating with single-agent T-DM1 is able to shrink brain metastases. But in the adjuvant setting, we really don't have any data saying that, as you suggested, that if there's not a tumor there and therefore presumably the blood-brain barrier is intact, that a large macromolecule like T-DM1 can get into the brain. The one negative piece of data we have, which is very recent from Catherine, is that the one situation where T-DM1 did not seem to be superior to trastuzumab was in preventing CNS recurrence as a first site of progression. And there was absolutely no benefit. In fact, I think the T-DM1 arm was actually a little worse. So fortunately, that doesn't happen very often. It's about 4 or 5% of patients. But in that situation, it did not look like T-DM1 in the adjuvant setting did anything to prevent those brain metastases. And that would speak to this concern that with a intact blood-brain barrier, that T-DM1 is not efficacious in the brain.
So it looks like that's about the point that you took over. You got involved with their care in 2017. She's got progression in the brain and in the liver. So what happened at that point?
Right. Well, just to go back, though, you know, she did do fine on continuation of the T-DM1 for some period of time. And we've all seen that. Studies have shown that the median after CNS progression is in the 4 to 6 cycle range. So it's not a trivial amount of time that patients can still be benefiting from systemic therapy if you treat locally the brain. And that's why those ASCO CNS guidelines are what they are, which is that if the extracranial disease is controlled, there's not a strong reason to change your systemic therapy at that point.
So it's kind of an escape lesion. How long did she stay on just the T-DM1?
For her, I think it wasn't a year, but it was at least 3 or 4 months, which I think is pretty typical. Some patients do well even longer than that, which is why, again, it's worth trying that. But eventually, her liver disease progressed on the T-DM1, but at that time, her brain metastases also were progressing, and she was not felt to be a good SRS candidate at that point.